the Great Commission and asking the right questions. Next on Principles and Policies. Hello, this is Chuck Michaelis. I'm the Vice Chairman of the Institute for Principled Policy and the Executive Director of Camp American. Your regular host, Barry Sheets, is still acting as a delegate to the Presbyterian Church in America's General Assembly. He should be back on Monday. Therefore, I am the temporary host. We are continuing and finishing, actually, the opening remarks from the Semper Reformanda Conference held April 26th and 27th in 2013. At Grace Presbyterian OPC Church on Postlethwaite Road in Columbus, Ohio. And the presenter, of course, is Dr. Joe Moorcraft, the pastor of Chalcedon Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. And as we've been talking about all week, if you want to hear this presentation in its entirety, and this is being wrapped up, you can hear the last part and get a big hunk of it, but you need to get the material at the front. And we'll tell you at the end of this program how to get a complete copy in either audio format or as a video. Here's Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
And it's discouraging to people to carry out the world vision that you have. Go to another church. We don't have enough time to try to convert preachers. In fact, Romans 16 says, if you have such a preacher, don't try to convert him, identify him, and get away from him. God is raising up an army of preachers, mostly of small churches that are being used of God, like the old Black Regiment, to fan the flames of freedom and the love for freedom. Try to find such a preacher. Sometimes the only place you're going to find them are on CDs. But the point is that our strategy in rebuilding this culture and taking it again for Christ, the spearhead must be seeking to win the hearts and minds of Americans to Jesus Christ, to get Christians to vote like Christians, or to recreate a Christian consensus. 1986, as Barry told you, I ran for the United States Congress and loved it. For 2 years, I got to speak to groups I would never be able to speak to as a preacher. And since then, I speak to groups that I never would have gotten to speak to. To anybody who runs to office, they think I'm more influential than I am, and I don't tell them I'm not. And so the office holders come to my office to get my support. And I got a captive audience for 2 hours because they got a smile at me the whole time. And I took one young congressional candidate out to eat who was a sort of conservative. And he finally won the United States seat. And so I asked him a bunch of questions. And he gave the typical pro-life, generally conservative answers. And so he professed to be a Christian. And finally, I asked him one more question. I said, sir, assuming you get into office and you get elected, how are you going to represent the crown rights of Christ the King? I might as well have been speaking Chinese. He says, I've never been asked that question before. I said, I figured you hadn't. So let me explain what I mean. So I got to tell him. But that's the issue. The issue is not whether the man you want in office is a Republican or a Democrat. Those are of the past. What you want to ask a man running for office is, I want to know what your source of law is. I want to know how you're going to apply the crown rights of Jesus the King when you get elected to Congress. I want to know, are you going to stand up to your constituency and use the power that's given to you to assist in the rebuilding of a Christian civilization here, or are you going to be a part of the status quo? We've got to ask people these questions. And we can't be like most Christians today who go into they say they believe the Bible applies to every area of life, and then when they go in the voting booth, they lay the Bible on the outside and totally forget everything they know about the sufficiency of Scripture, and then a vote according to whether or not they think a person is winnable, etc. And they vote like every other humanist. I'll tell you something. Don't tell me, get me in trouble. I don't vote for Marxists, And I don't vote for Mormons. Because the only standard for rebuilding civilization is the Word of God. And we must teach and be models to people that we are to observe everything that Christ has commanded us from Genesis to Revelation. Now, the central mandate is this. Matthew 28, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Teach them to baptize everybody in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I command you, and I'll be with you always, even within the earth. And the central mandate is, go therefore and make solitary individuals detached from everybody else, Christians, before Jesus comes and burns everything up. Anybody have that particular translation of the Great Commission? It's not what it says. It says, go and make the world's nations my disciples. That's the Great Commission. Now, we've got to be involved in individual winning. I don't want to downplay that. You and I must be involved in bringing the authority of the Word of God to bear and the claims and offers of the Word of God to bear upon individuals. We must be involved in individual winning. And we must also be involved in family winning. And we must seek to be converting families to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can't forget the last part. The Great Commission is to win nations, to win cultures, to bring the discipline of the Word of God to bear upon the nations themselves and all their institutions and all their interrelationships, and to not rest until the nations have been brought to the foot of the cross. You and I cannot rest in our efforts until we see Columbus, Ohio, in all of the echelons of power to the average person here, bow in confession of the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And understand that they're to live according to the sufficiency of his word. It is the nations Christ wants. And it's the nations that Christ calls upon us to make his disciples. In other words, the rebuilding of those nations according to the word of God and the rebuilding of civilization within those nations according to his word. You remember the restatement of the Great Commission in Acts 1:8? It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. What we're called to do in rebuilding America, in rebuilding a Christian civilization in America, takes more strength than what you have as an individual. But you're not lacking for strength. The Bible says the Holy Spirit of God, with all of his omnipotent power, has come upon us who believe in him, greater than any of the power that the world has. When I went to Washington, D.C. several times as I was running for Congress, you could smell the illusion of power everywhere you went. About everybody that I know that was running for office that went to Washington eventually was bought by that power and that sense of power. But it's all an illusion. There is no power in Washington, D.C. Power belongs to the Lord, says the Old Testament. And he uses, you have that power. Don't be imitated by the counterfeit power of the politicians and the media. You have the power of the Holy Spirit to change culture. And Jesus said, you are my witnesses. Now let me tell you what that says in Greek. Greek has a particular way of saying things so as to emphasize certain words. And so what the Acts 1 statement of the Great Commission is, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses who belong to me. That's the point. You are witnesses who belong to me. You're legal witnesses, like in a courtroom. You are to bear testimony to the evil and the guilt of your age, and then to bear testimony to the saving power and cleansing power that's in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you are to do it as people who belong to Christ. You don't belong to yourself. You don't have a right to your own opinion. You don't have a right to your own body. You don't have a right to your own energies. You have been bought with a price. and you belong to Christ through and through. That's the way you see yourself. So I belong to you, Jesus. You tell me what to do, I'll do it. Remember Augustine's great prayer? How many times have I prayed this myself? You learn to pray it. Lord, give what you command and command what you will. Lord, you give me the strength to do whatever you command and then command me to do anything. That's the way we are to pray. So, I'll stop. God created human beings in his image to be civilization builders. Jesus Christ came to earth to restore the image of God in you and to restore you to your original calling to rebuild civilization under Christ's kingship according to the power of the Spirit directed by his word. You're not going to do it overnight, are you? It's going to take a little while. We may not see it unless we live to be real old. Unless God just decides to do it tomorrow. Remember, there was a revival that took place in Israel under Hezekiah after generations of apostasy, and about 4 months the whole nation was revived. So I live like it's all going to happen tomorrow, but it may take a little longer. So learn to be patient and persevering. You remember the great promise to you that says, don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due time you just might reap if you're lucky. Is that your translation? It says, don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due time you shall reap if you do not faint. I'll tell you a quick story about my two sons. I have three children in their late 30s. I have a daughter in her early 20s, born 14 years after the others, when my wife was 41. So we named her Mercy. And when we found out we were expecting, we gave her the middle, almost gave her the middle name Sakes. Now you got to be from the South to appreciate that. But when my two sons were in their early teens, they wanted me to make and fly a kite for them in August. I lived on a piece of property in North Georgia. All it had on it were 100-foot high pines. And there had not been a gust of wind get between those pines in August in Sherman burned Atlanta. But I didn't want to disappoint my boys. Also on my property, it was on incline, and it was covered with trees, and the only wide space was about 12 feet of gravel, on a gravel driveway. So I get this kite, I put it together, I put a tail on it. It's 100 plus degrees in unbearable Atlanta humidity, and I'm running myself to the verge of a heat stroke up and down this gravel road trying to get this kite 10 feet in this air. And my sons, who pay close attention to their father's sermons, was trying to encourage me. We're trying to encourage me. But instead of encouraging me, they were infuriating me because they were hollering out, persevere, Daddy, persevere. That's my message to you. It's hot. It's humid. We're on an incline. Everything in this country is fighting against us. We shall reap if we do not faint. Persevere.
If you're interested in obtaining a complete copy of this presentation so you can hear all the programs as they were given, you can contact us at www.principledpolicy.com. You can call the phone number there, or you can drop us an email at director@principledpolicy.com. We also have this available in our store the beginning of next week or so. That should be available in our store for ordering, and we will take a credit card or PayPal. Again, www.principledpolicy.com or director@principledpolicy.com for an email. We are out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.